You are listening to the Shakti on Fire podcast, created by Joy Leng. She is an empowerment coach for women, author of From Zero to Shakti, an online course provider, a speaker, and a warrior goddess facilitator. This podcast explores the focus of her empowerment coaching for women, which is authenticity, intuition, power, and play. Her dream is to ignite 1 million women to do 3 million good deeds by 2028. And she invites you to be a part of this dream at joyleng.com. Now, I present to you the dreamer and creator of Shakti on Fire podcast, Joy Leng.
Hello there, welcome back to Shakti on Fire podcast. How has your week been? For those of you who is not aware, I am a dancer and currently I'm taking some lessons in my bachata. It has been 6 months since I have embarked on this learning journey, which was really sparked because I did a bachata bootcamp in January, accidentally thinking that it was meant for beginners, but it was not. The bootcamp turned out to be a blessing in disguise because from the bootcamp, I realized that even if I have a dance background, I should really start from scratch and take up the beginner's lessons for bachata because it is its own dance form, and if I want to really get into the heart of the dance, I should not be relying on my dance technique background, the training that I have done in the past, but to really get down and dirty, starting from scratch to learn the dance so that I can slowly immerse in the dance form and really learn it the authentic way. So that started my 5 to 6 months journey into bachata. Currently, I am at level 3 and I am just so heartened to say that for the first time, I am starting to get it in small ways, but in very sure ways as well. When I do my dance, I know what I'm doing. I may not be the best that I can be yet, but to even reach this point is a major pivotal benchmark for me. So that makes me really happy as a dancer. I just want to share this with you because I think sometimes we have to start from point zero. Even if it seems that we can do something faster, or as always, shortcuts are tempting, but you have to really analyze it and feel it in your gut, which is the best way forward. Should you do it the shorter way and it will still be efficient in the long run? Or should you just take the longer route, but it will have lasting effect? And podcast-wise, I am so happy. I have to say, I thoroughly enjoy doing this show. It's a childhood dream come true for me. And you listening in means so much to me. This show is not possible without your listening to the podcast, learning and growing from it. At the end of the day, my dream, my vision is to empower 1 million women to do 3 million good deeds by 2028. And I hope you will be one of us. And even if you're not, I hope you will invite others to be one of us. Let's create 3 million ripples of love out in the world within the next 10 years. Today's episode is going to be so interesting. This is episode 10 of Shakti on Fire podcast. The focus is on healing. It is embracing menstrual wisdom with Gabriella Guliminotti. This is a fascinating woman who calls herself a female psycho consultant. In this show, we get to learn what is the curse and what's the inner seasons all about. What is vagina breathing? And what does she mean by the energy dynamics of the menstrual month? There are things that the womb keeps. And what is cycle tracking journal? Gabriella says the role of women is to inspire men. What caused that comment? And she said, bleed on it. Let's find out. What exactly are we bleeding on? Here's the main part of the show. Hello listeners, welcome to Shakti on Fire podcast with your host Joy Lang. Today I have a very interesting guest for you, and her name is Gabriella Gulib-Minotti-Trivel. She's an author, speaker, visionary, and female cycle consultant who helps women gain confidence, authority, and fulfillment in life by knowing better their body. She helps women to make their female cycle their best friend. Couples improve their relationship, find a more satisfying way to communicate, and have better intimacy. This is the most feminine episode to date on Shakti on Fire, and I myself can't wait to talk to this amazing lady. Hello, Gabrielle. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello, Joy. Thank you for having me today. I'm so delighted to speak with you.
Yeah, you're most welcome. Tell us more about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Italy, born in Turin, which is in the northwest part of the country. 19 years ago, I moved to UK because at the time I was working as in tourism, and I was a rep for Italian tour operator in the Maldives and met a Briton. And as it happens, he was living in London. So I moved to London in 1998. Since then, I've been living in UK. Our story unfolded and we got married. Of course, but I'm still in UK. I'm now living in the countryside. I'm originally a trained interpreter. I studied languages. Yes, I worked in the tourism industry for some time, the year 2004 and 2006. I went through a crisis and I realized that, besides my marriage ending, it was also realizing that I needed to do something else. Sometimes transitions and changes in a very dramatic way. So I originally came across alternative world in my 20s. Because I was an interpreter, I ended up translating courses about macrobiotics in Switzerland. And that's how I ended up getting into all this strange stuff, like kind of alternative things, alternative medicine, etc. And so when I went through this personal transformation and crisis around the year 2005, I realized that maybe I had abandoned my alternative world and tried to be normal, whatever normal might mean. That's how I come back to be what I do what I love, which is helping people going through transformation. It all started again in UK when I trained in neuro-linguistic programming, which is also called NLP. My big moment of realization as a woman was in 2009 when I met a psychotherapist called Alexandra Pope, who has been developing work about menstruation and how menstruation and the female cycle affects a woman. And so that was the start of my new path.
Tell us more about this work that you do. Consultant.
Basically, what happened in a nutshell, I came across this lady because I received an email. It was a conference call, and it was happening on the 8th of March, which is International Women's Day, in the year 2009. The title of it was The Wisdom of Menstruation. Caught my eye and interest because while I was going through this transformation, I my cycle became erratic. It wasn't regular as it used to be. And I realized that there was something there for me to look into. And I also knew that normal allopathic medicine wouldn't really give me good, satisfying answers. So in a way, I trusted that the right thing would come my way, and actually did. I expressed this desire to know more about this thing, and I left it. You know, I just like and let it go. And so when I received this email a few years later in my inbox, I thought, this is really interesting. So I listened in, and I got hooked by the subject. Decided to go to Alessandro's workshop in London. And that was, for me, a turning point in my life, because having done different about personal development, by then I was in my early 40s. I had kind of explored a bit different subjects, different therapies, etc. I never realized until I met Alexandra Pope that nothing really that I read, trained in, or listened to was ever about menstruation. But menstruation can be a tricky term, because menstruation literally means just the week when a woman's bleed, you know, every month. Whereas it's not just the week that is important, it's the whole month, it's the whole cycling itself. At the end of the day, we are different. We are wired energetically. Neuroscience these days tells us that we function in a different way that affects us in so many areas of our life. It seems so obvious to me. Why on earth didn't I notice this? Why I haven't thought about this? I remember that day realized my purpose in life after wandering for so many decades. Why I'm here? What I'm supposed to do? I remember that day, it was an open eye-opener. First of all, this workshop was held in London, and London is a very multiracial, multi-ethnic capital city where there are people coming from different backgrounds. That room, it were roughly 30 women of very different cultures, experiences, etc. I went to the workshop because my period had become erratic. I wanted to understand more about it. But that was it. I was in pain every month like some women do. For me to go there and meet all these women that were there actually mainly because they were either in pain or they were thinking or considering menstruation something dirty, shameful, etc., it really opened my eyes. And I thought, my goodness, how can you live with something like that every month? It's like writing off a few years of your life, because if you consider that as women we have 13 cycles per year, suppose that you suffer a couple of days, which is kind of normal, unfortunately. So if you multiply it by 13, it gives you 26 days a year. Let's multiply for 30 years, which is the average woman's menstruation lifespan, is 780 days. So if we divide this by 365 days, which is a year, it means more than 2 years of our life that we write off. My heart really opened and I really felt for those women. I realized that I wanted to do something active to change that. I realized if I had that information much earlier in life, for instance, when I started menstruating in my teens or even in my early 20s, my life would have unfolded very differently, because I would have little by little grew wiser, more knowledgeable about myself. So I realized that I've been deprived of something that I shouldn't have been deprived. And the only thing I could do, I couldn't reverse the clock. I could only do something about it to help other women not be one day sitting in my same seat feeling the same. And so that's why in 2010, I started just doing this work and trying to find ways to reach out at women.
Gabrielle, thanks for sharing your background. So it seems like you were motivated for your work because you first was motivated by your own erratic periods, and you went to this seminar and you see all these women who were there because they were having challenges with that period, and that empathy that you had for other women got you into this work. So that is really amazing. Can you tell us why the female cycle is considered a curse?
It's a fact that definitely in the UK, and I'm sure in other countries, not so much in Italy. I never heard this term, the curse, when I was living in Italy, so much in my family. But in general, by the time I was 20, I realized that it wasn't a subject that you would openly talk about at a dinner table. And of course, I wonder why, but sometimes there are so many subjects that they are considered taboo according to different cultures. So I didn't make much out of it. It was actually hit me when I came to UK, because yes, I heard this term and I thought, why would you want to call it the curse? Because UK is a very multi-ethnic society. There are really people coming from different other countries. So I realized that this epidemic of cursing, something so natural, because nobody would be alive, you know, if it wasn't for a woman who menstruates. I mean, why is it considered like this? I did ask myself, why on earth would you want to call it that way? I think there are several factors. First of all, we have to consider that we have been living in a society that for thousands of years has been run by men. patriarchy rule, we can call it whatever you want, but just a fact. Most civilizations that have been existing for at least a few thousand, they've been run and ruled by men. The consequence of that, men don't menstruate. So it means that maybe to them it's not something important, first of all, and second, because it's not something they have happening to them physically, they might see it as something strange. And how come you bleed but you don't die? So it could be that for them it was something mysterious. And the other thing is, I've been trying to put myself into a man's shoes. A woman does change a lot through the month, week by week. This is natural, by the way. I want to let everybody know this is natural. It's planned to be that way. There's nothing wrong with it. But from a male point of view, it's something challenging because they have cycles as well. Everything in nature cycles. So men are part of nature too. So they cycle, but they don't know. They don't have something so clearly visible like women have. And so I think they might perceive this as a challenging thing because women are fickle. They change all the time. They change their mind. So they don't know where to stand. But if we look a bit further back in time, tens of thousands of years, there were civilizations on the planet that were matriarchal. So what definitely would have happened back then, even just if we look at archaeological remains, there are many parts of where they found these statuettes of goddesses. And why do we know where they are goddesses? Because they have big teeth, big bellies, and definitely are not men. They don't have any willies, right? Or penises. So obviously, there was a different era on the planet when men maybe were running the planet, civilization and societies. But I'm sure it must have been different, and I'm sure that menstruation was looked at as something sacred. If women wouldn't have the body designed that way, we wouldn't be able to procreate.
And I love what you say, how can something so natural be a curse? And yet, unfortunately, at the moment, this is a fact of life. And this is something that used to be considered as sacred, and it has went all the way to the other end of the spectrum to being cursed. But luckily, we have women like you who can help to correct the path, and hopefully we'll come to a point where we can recognize that it is sacred and it is absolutely natural. As you mentioned, menstruation is a cycle, just like nature. It's all in cycle, and men have their own cycles, just that perhaps it's not as obvious as the cycle that we women experience. You mentioned about the inner season. What does the inner season mean?
I want to talk about this because I want women and men become clear about this because it's very useful. Because I mentioned a woman's body changes and also the psyche of a woman, the mind, the emotions of a woman change through the month, the whole cycle. The best way to explain is to talk about the season because everybody has experienced the season, winter, spring, summer and autumn. We feel very differently if we are somewhere in winter because the weather is different from summer. And so the weather affects us and we can't change it. It's just the way things are. So when we are in winter, we think and we feel and in a very different way, and we have, as a consequence of that, different emotions. It's not just that we have a different attire, we have different clothes, right? Just everything changes is what happens in a woman's body. So let's go through this season and let's look into it, them and understand them. My cycle is composed of 4 weeks. Varies from woman to woman, but just to generalize, let's take a week each. These 4 weeks, scientific terms, is the pre-ovulatory phase, the ovulatory phase, premenstrual phase, and menstruation. Let's compare them to season and let's look at them and see what happens in a woman's body. Start from spring, which is the week, the pre-ovulatory phase, is the week when a woman has finished bleeding, first week of the cycle, and is a week when she is really feeling great and super powerful, like we feel in spring. We are full of energy, we have full of enthusiasm, and we remember all the things we want to do, and or maybe we put aside and we start them again, or we start new courses. cities, we tend to be more social and outgoing, etc. So in this week, a woman really needs not much energy, meaning to do things. She's naturally active, so she sleeps less. She's very abundant in energy. She's very social. She's very active work-wise or professionally. And even if in her inner life or intimate life, she's very outgoing. Then the second week, the summer, the ovulatory phase, male point of view is even better. She becomes fertile. So she's even more easygoing and more outgoing and social. And obviously nature designed us this way because if we want to procreate, which was nature is all about. Mm-hmm. We have to be outgoing, otherwise how on earth can we have intercourse and sex and procreate a new being? In practical terms, a woman becomes really a social queen. She says yes to everybody, she can do multitask a million times. So these two phases, as you can see, spring and summer, they're perfect for the Western society where production is important. Well, because we really are good at that. But then what happens is, the autumn comes in, and in autumn we start feeling the chill in the air. And if we think backwards in time, it was the season that it was important to harvest the produce before winter. So it's a season when you don't waste time anymore like in summer, because you can feel the winter coming and you have to look in your larder, meaning, see, do you have enough provisions for winter? Which means it's an energy that tends to become more critical and very efficient. Is a cooling down energy, more yin, you would say, if we want to use the yin and yang terms, more feminine. Which means that a woman in autumn becomes less interested in the outside world, starts having more an interest, a focus on her inner world, and seeing all those things that maybe she started in spring, so 2 weeks earlier, she starts seeing all the possibly negative aspects of it or the things she has forgotten about them. She can be more intuitive and critical, and that can be perceived, if from a male point of view, like critical, definitely. And so she doesn't say yes all the time, like in some, because she starts saying no. Because don't start saying some no's, and you say yes all the time, you don't finish what you need to do. And in autumn, you have to finish stuff. That's why possibly so many women have problems during this week, during this season, which is the autumn, the premenstrual week. And so the PMS, which is possibly premenstrual syndrome, or PMT, which is also called premenstrual tension, possibly the reason why they call the cycle the curse. You know, it's a very feminine time for a woman that week. And it's very important. And if a woman understands it, appreciates it, and can use it to her advantage, and if we want to talk about work and profession, you know, she can become very efficient. Because you need to see both sides of the coin, otherwise things fall apart. It's all true. Right? Like in the day, we have the day and night. The night we sleep and rest, and during the day we are active. And that's the same thing. So when we go into winter, which is the fourth week, which is the menstruation week, the bleeding week, energy cools down even more, becomes even more yin. And again, if you don't know this, then you call it a curse because you feel you don't want maybe to do as much as before. But it's important for a woman during this week to rest more because she's got stuff to do that might be not concerning the family, concerning her work, but more personal stuff. And during that week, she needs more sleep, she needs more rest, and also she has more permeable, which means her unconscious and her conscious mind, they become better friends, which means that she becomes more intuitive, she can become more psychic. So it's a very important week for her, especially if she pays attention to her dreams. They can become very important and symbolic, and she can really find so many answers to her questions during the week. So it's an important week. It's not social, possibly not as social as the summer, but if a woman is in an intimate relationship, it's a very important week to deepen the relationship with, for instance, her partner, her husband or boyfriend, her colleagues or friends. Why? Because a woman is more vulnerable, is more feminine, is the time when a woman needs to be nurtured more. But we know feminine energy is about nurturing, and nothing can happen and unfold and be successful if we don't nurture it, meaning a child, meaning a project, meaning some writing, anything you do. So as you can see, nature designed us perfectly balanced, because we have two seasons that are active, so more male, more masculine, and two seasons that are more feminine. So when we recover, we recuperate, we rejuvenate. Nature is perfect in a way, but as human, we are biased.
Indeed, that is so true. Mother Nature is neutral. There is no such thing as good or bad, the way we like to label as human being. In fact, I think we're quite obsessed with labeling, judgment, and so on. Oh, that's bad. This is good. What if there's no bad or good, and nature doesn't care for good or bad? So yeah, that is so true. I love your sharing of the inner seasons and how you compare it with the seasons of nature, and it makes a lot of sense, the yin and the yang energy. And that's something that as a Chinese I'm very familiar with. Think about it, it is logical.
I think the Tao symbol is the best symbol of feminine cycle, because we really go, half of it is masculine and half of it is feminine. It's only when we integrate the both that we can have a happy life. Because happiness comes from balance.
I know you have a free giveaway for our listeners for the vagina breathing. So yes, I want to know what that is.
Let's think of breathing. Breathing is the source of life. If we stop that, we die. That's obvious. Especially with so many different practices born in the East, all emphasize the importance of the breathing. We know, even scientifically these days, that because they studied like under Buddhist monks, you know, when they meditate and they find out that actually the breathing slows down very much and it becomes much more a deeper breathing, etc. And we know that when we do that type of breathing, we access a different type of consciousness. It's important to breathe properly. The breathing is also related to our emotions and our body. If we have been, like, for instance, through trauma or difficulties, when we go through stuff like that, we tend to breathe more shallowly. The breathing is not as deep and as calm as we breathe when we are relaxed. Knowing that it's important to breathe in a certain way to be able to get all the health benefits out of it. So it's important to realize that our core center of our body, especially according to its philosophies, is in the hara, or our belly. It's for a woman, very important is to know that the womb, the uterus, is the center of everything, really. In Chinese acupuncture, in the reflexology, the different points that in the body reflects the different organs. Cervix, which is the neck or the tip of the opening of the womb, is connected to the heart. What does it mean? A womb is the lower heart of a woman. We know the importance of our heart. The same token, in a woman's body, the womb is her lower heart. It means as we breathe further down our breathing to our genitals, it means our focus goes there more. As modern people, we definitely don't focus our, we don't have, unless we are a practitioner of maybe Taoism practices, Qigong or stuff like that, Tai Chi, but we don't think about these things. I didn't know myself personally until a few years ago that the cervix is connected to the heart. It makes sense to me right now, because I can really see that the energy of a woman is so much connected with the womb, because it's where a woman keeps her creativity, not just practical, because you can create another human being, but also laterally, meaning the womb is where a woman's her dreams, her secrets, and also her traumas. So it's important to cleanse, and it's important to bring focus down there. And it's important for men too. So my challenge is learn to breathe with your genitals. I thought, okay, maybe I just write something very short that everybody can understand with some pictures in it. It helps people to bring attention to a part of their body which is so important, because the hara, the womb, they are quite now scientifically proven that it's where our balance is the emotional and also psychological balance of a person. So please do and see what happens. We breathe with our lungs, but we also know that where the focus goes, energy goes. If we are off kilter, meaning we feel not centered, we feel we are grieving, or whatever it can be happening in our lives in that precise moment, and we feel unstable, nervous, it takes just a few moments to just sit comfortably somewhere, or you lie down and you close your eyes and you bring the attention down to the breathing. What you do step by step in the handout is very simple. Imagine to breathe with your genitals, meaning that instead of the air comes through your lung, you breathe with your genitals and you bring up the energy and comes out from your nostrils.
Like a system from the vagina, the air going out through your nostril and then coming back into the nostril and going back to the vagina. That's the vagina breathing. So creating like an energy circuit inside your body.
Yes, so there is a circulation, and by the way, it's very similar to some tantric practices and Taoism practices that emphasize to do the same with the sexual energy. It's a very simple way to become more aware that our body is multidimensional. It's a very complex machine, which is not just a machine, that has many different layers. Our emotional body, mental body, psychic body, etherical body. I just want to invite people, and especially women, to bring the attention to their womb, because it's so important for women. I am very aware, if you never done or never heard something like that, you might feel it's a bit wacky, strange, weird. Don't believe me, because if you don't discover by yourself if it's valid or not, there's no meaning to you. Try it. As you pay attention to your heart, you can just remember at the same time, pay attention to your lower heart, because there's part of your heart down there too.
Wow, this is such amazing information, Gabrielle. Like, lots of food for thought, even for myself. I never thought of the womb as the lower heart of a woman. And think about it, it makes a lot of sense. It does. One more question before we go to segment two. Besides the vagina breathing, is there any other tools that we can use to be more menstrually aware?
Yes, something very simple, which is do the cycle tracking. I invite women to, please don't believe me again, but start tracking their cycle. It means that when you start bleeding, is the first day is day one, and you start counting. You can write it, have your menstrual diary, and you can write as much as you want, but you don't need to if you don't want to, if you're not specifically fond of writing. At the end of your day, before you close your eyes, pay attention to how has been your day. You can summarize it with two adjectives if you want to put more, fine. But just to write down what is important to you. What has been active, has been felt angry maybe, whatever it's been. If you want, you can also add some specific physical thing, especially during the winter week, which is the first week, because we said you start counting and writing down from day one, which start bleeding. Maybe you want to put some details of your bleeding. Start again when you bleed again, so it will be the next cycle. What is the use of by doing this religiously, at least for a few months, you start seeing a pattern which is specific to you, but you can't see just doing it once. You have to do it for a certain period of time. Then it's up to you. Over time, it gives you knowledge, delicate knowledge that only you can have access to. Let's suppose later in life you might have a problem, or, by the way, a woman changes roughly by rule of thumb every 10 years. mainly there are huge changes every 10 years in a woman's life connected to the cycle, but not only. You have to build up this body of knowledge which is pertinent to you, specifically to you alone. Think about what we generally do. We don't know anything about ourselves. Then something goes wrong, we go to the doctor and we expect the doctor to sort everything out. It's an invitation for women to start exploring this. By doing this simple exercise, you start having a look into your own tapestry. It's a panorama, a vista, which is you. You unfold. Okay, if you pay attention and become menstrual aware, you will see over the season, mentally, you unfold, you change. Every week, there is a part of you that comes alive. For the men here, I want to say, you think you might have got a one woman, but with the price of a woman, you got four women. And it's down to you to discover. Discover with the price of 1-4, I think this is a good deal. A very good deal, no?
Yeah, but you're quite a salesperson. That's, I think, would attract some men. Oh, that's a good thought. I actually have four women, not one. Wow, that's very economical too. Okay, I love that. That's such a good one. I think the idea of using your menstrual cycle to have a journal, to track your own emotions and what you've been experiencing, to use that to gain inner insights, wisdom about yourself, that is just very powerful. And like you say, these are things that other people can't tell you and you wouldn't be able to notice it on a daily or even a weekly basis, but you will be able to see that if you do the journal for months and notice maybe even subtle but integral part of yourself that you have never realized. So that is quite mind-blowing for me, using the menstrual cycle to have a deeper sense of yourself as a woman. That's amazing.
Yeah, I want to be very practical. You can use this for your life, even work-wise, professionally, because you can understand if you are in your winter, you feel very different. And there's no point in pushing yourself, ignoring that. For instance, let's suppose you have your own business or you work in an office and there's something really major that happens that or a decision that you have to make for yourself or in your business. What do you do? You can have that particular meeting. If you have it during your winter, of course, you will be more vulnerable. But if you need to see things through, that would be the best week for you to really understand. Maybe if your partner is truthful to you, or if you need to change something in the business, or whatever it might be, that week for you will be gold. I would say to you, bleed on it instead of, they say, sleep on it. Yes, it's a good thing to sleep on something before making a decision. But if you have an important decision to make, wait for your winter, bleed on it, and then see when you come out of it in your spring how you feel about it. You are bound to make a better decision. You become very psychic during that week. Same way, if you need to do something social, do it schedule in your summertime. Don't schedule it in your autumn time. It won't have the energy.
Thank you, Gabrielle. There is so much wealth of information there. I think the listeners have to listen to this twice. So we're going to move forward to segment two, which is Light My Fire. And here we invite Gabrielle to share how she expresses the four Shakti on fire sparks in her life, which is authenticity, intuition, power and play. So here we're going to keep the answers short. What does it mean to you, Gabrielle, to live an authentic life?
It means to really discover yourself, to become menstrual aware. It means that you discover the four women that are in yourself. To be authentic, if you are not aware how you express yourself in the different season. Mm. You don't know parts that are conditioned so much. The society we come from, whatever the bringing we had, is just the way it is. Mm. But that's okay. It's part of life. We are here with a specific purpose or gift to give. Our only duty is to really become aware of what we want, what that gift is, to find a way to give it, share it, etc. you discover who you are, and you have to become aware of your conditioning, because by becoming aware of that, then you discover more easily who the you underneath it all is.
What does intuition feels like for you?
Intuition is be silent enough to hear that little voice that maybe has become really, really low because you shut it up so many times. You have to really make a lot of silence around yourself first, maybe to hear it. Otherwise, if you have listened to it all your life, you might hear it even in the chaos of normal life. That intuition is priceless, because it's your inner knowing. I'm so adamant about becoming menstrual aware for a woman, because it's the best way to find your own authority. Women, we are really pulled apart by so many things because we've been living in a world that has been run by men for a long time. We tend to disregard, to suppress, delete. And by default, we accept other people's opinion. We should do just the other way around. We should be aware first of what is important to us.
When you're feeling down, what do you do to claim back your personal power?
I tend to meditate daily. If I can't, I try my best to go out and walk in nature. That's the most pleasurable way to go back to your center.
What gives you the most joy? That brings out the playful child in you.
Being silly. We become so serious. Huh? And love to have a dog. I still haven't managed to manifest that. I'm mentioning pets because animals are naturally spontaneous and playful. Being in contact with some animals is a shortcut, really, to bring back up the playfulness in us.
Okay. If you were a mystical superheroine character, who would you be and why?
Superhero? Oh, gosh. Well, I call myself the Flying Witch.
The Flying Witch?
Yes. I like the idea of being a witch and being able to fly, and it's very economical and ecological, you know. Still haven't found my broomstick.
That's very true.
When I can, I go flying.
Super. That's a very fun reply. I didn't see that coming.
Yes.
What would you, as the adult self, say to your younger self at 10 years old?
I wish somebody told me back then that I was beautiful and I was full of energy, that I should always, always appreciate that. The natural role of women on the planet is to inspire men. And so to be inspiring, we have to appreciate our beauty. And beauty is not just external feature, it's an inner game. When you are little, you should be told every day how beautiful you are, because that's what it would do to a little girl or a little boy. It would encourage them to just to be confident and appreciative. And so that's what I would say to younger me of many years ago. But we can do that even if we are adults. We can have a bit of attention and care for our little child in ourselves.
What is the one advice you would give about living your best Shakti on fire self?
The last line of my book, and in that book I tell about my story of my trip to Antarctica. In it, I really put the essence of my soul. So I put different lessons. At the end of the book, I made a list of them. Life is a journey of the heart. The mind is only a helper, and the soul is the adventurer. Which is an invitation to your heart, because in whenever situation, as painstaking as it might be or difficult, if you make a silence and you listen to your heart, it will always tell you the right thing to do.
Thank you, Gabriel. That's beautiful. And have a few free gifts for the listeners. You have the book sample of your book, Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning. And the listeners will also be able to get the vagina breathing PDF. So that's awesome. All this is available in the show notes. How can the listeners contact you?
Yeah, through my website, which is flyinginspiration.com. Flying written F-L-Y-I-N-G, and inspiration, like having an inspiration, written in one word, flyinginspiration.com.
Thank you, Gabriel, for coming on the show. You have been an inspiration and you are beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much, Joy. Thank you. so much for inviting me. I so appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Namaste.
Namaste.
And as always, this is the definition of Shakti on fire. A Shakti on fire is a playful goddess who unites her power with intuition and authenticity in loving service to herself and others. That was a fascinating session with Gabriella. I learned so much about my body as a woman. Valuable information that we as women have to know and use that to gain greater inner wisdom and use the tips of the inner seasons to navigate our life and to plan our schedule and the important decisions that we want to make in our life. Don't forget to download the free gifts that comes with this episode, a book sample of Gabriella's Antarctic Odyssey and Vagina Breathing PDF. All of this will be available in the show notes together with Gabriella's contact. I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I did. And if the podcast has been useful for you, please rate and review the show on iTunes. It will mean so much to me. Till the next episode, have a kick-ass day. And hey, here's to your soul elevation. Coming up next, a very short 2-minute meditation. So take a deep breath in, stay centered, and here we go.
Energy ad infinitum. The only thing that limits human potential is its own definition of itself.